Take your seats, and I want you to turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, and we'll read from verse 30. Let's read from verse 33. It says, "Then they said to him, 'Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise those of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink?' And he said to them, 'Can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they shall fast in those days.' Then he spoke a parable to them. 'No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise the new makes a tear. And also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spoiled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says the old is better.'" And then I want us to turn to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, and I believe we want verse 19. It reads, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Let me read that again. "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Now I'm sharing today on, I've entitled it, "New Wine, New Skins, and a New Thing." New wine, new skins, and a new thing. Now, when you look at the text, it starts off with a question that was asked to Jesus about fasting that takes place amongst John's disciples and amongst the Pharisees. And the reason they asked this question is because when they were following Jesus around, they noticed that Jesus was at parties. He'd be going to gatherings with the tax collectors and the publicans, the non-religious, the ones who weren't interested in, let's say, the things of God. He was primarily moving amongst those who weren't disciples. And he would mix with them in such a way that when you look on, you would think, this is not correct. Because they'll be drinking, they'll be feasting. And it's interesting because this account appears in the gospel 3 times. In the book of Matthew, in the book of Mark, and also from where we're reading, in the book of Luke. 3 times. Which gives us an indication that in this particular discourse taking place, and what Jesus speaks about, is telling us there is an emphasis which the Spirit is trying to give the body of believers. The emphasis of the new wine coming, and of the new wine looking for, or needing rather, to be in new wineskins. And Jesus uses this metaphoric language of the new piece of cloth put on an old patch, and of the new wine being put in old wineskins. And it's just, it's like the Lord was saying, there's a new move that has come about. Because John the Baptist preceded Jesus. He was the forerunner. He prepared the way for the Master. And the preparation was primarily repentance, because John was a powerful prophet. And his message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. And Jesus then comes along. And if you look at John, how John was, John ordered his life in a certain way. He'll be fasting. His diet was locusts and wild honey. He wouldn't go to TK Maxx and look for a good priced designer stuff. He wouldn't. Camel skins he was wearing. Listen, you have to understand that he was of the order of the priesthood. His father would go into the Holy of Holies at his appointed time to minister to the Lord, carry out the ceremonious acts. And that's where his dad then had this amazing encounter with the angel. So it's not like the guy was poor or the guy didn't have much. He was from a clan. But he chose to live in a certain way to accommodate what God wanted to do in his life. Dare I say, I'm telling you guys, the Lord wants to bring new wine. The new wine speaks of the outpouring of God's Spirit. New wine is associated with the Holy Ghost. Remember the scripture in Acts chapter 2? When the Holy Spirit was poured out, and they were filled with the Spirit. And those who were observing thought, these guys are drunk because of the intense encounter they were having. If you look on the outside, they were probably not steady on their feet. And they were babbling, but it wasn't babbling. They were speaking in tongues. And so this new move, when they looked at it, they thought, these guys are drunk. And there's an association between the new wine and the Holy Spirit. And the Lord is going to visit us. The Lord wants to visit us. Listen, this is a promise. It's a promise for everybody. In the book of Joel, it talks about how he'll pour out his Spirit in those days. And guess what? If you and I would demonstrate a certain hunger and posture, you will receive an outpouring of God, a touch that's unprecedented. Listen, it's easy to miss it. Let me share a personal testimony. in a season where we, you know, we were trying. There was this great need for the Lord. Saw the poverty in my when I observed rubbish. And I'm talking because I'm insecure. I'm talking because when you look at yourself through the prism or the lens of the scriptures, you will get an indication where you're really at, if you're honest. And when I observed, I thought, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. And as I was pressing it more and more, I could see it. And so, I mean, this was a work of the Lord. And it's because God wants to bring us back in line to have closer fellowship, closer intimacy. And I'm in this season, and I received a word from an individual. And the word was this: the fire is falling. Catch the fire. The fire is falling. Catch the fire. And I thought, wow. You know when you get words? I thought, wow. And then there was some more as well, you know. It's like, wow, wow. You know, you get excited. Wow, I thought, yes, yes. You know when normally you're a bit discouraged, you get a word. And then when you're walking, there's a spring in your step. Yes, hallelujah. Celebrate. But it's not enough to just celebrate. You now need to steward the word. And I needed to say, now you have said. The fire is falling. You have said. I was minding my own business, crying before you, seeing my wretchedness, seeing the nonsense, and you said the fire is falling. So Lord, make good what you've said. And then you go into the scripture, and when it says, command ye me the work of my hands, and then you go into another scripture, and then you say, give him no rest. So Lord, you've got to do it. You are a promise-keeping God. Oh, Charlie, I didn't do it. In my excitement, you know, it fades away, doesn't it? And then I was going about normal life, etc. And then I came back to it. And I said, my goodness, I've wasted a whole portion of time where I could have been laboring. Bring the outpouring. Because listen, you need to understand what that means, the outpouring, the new wine. What does it mean? All of us, we want to have a certain kind of, and it's numerous, certain kind of experience, certain kind of encounter, certain kind of strength and authority, walking in who you are and what you've called to be and seeing tremendous truth. You want it. Do you want it if you want to lift your hands? Yes, all of us. And there are nuances of your life, certain things you're yearning for. Who doesn't want to go to an individual and then say, thus says the Lord, move in the prophetic, move in the word of knowledge. And then when you, through the word of knowledge, you locate a problem and then you pray and a miracle kicks out. Listen, miracles is for us. I tell you something, if an individual in this place will press in, they will encounter God and measures of power will be released into your life. I'm telling you. Otherwise, what is this living about? What is it about? What is it about? You get up, you go early morning prayer, 5 to 6, halfway through, you're sleeping. I'm not saying you, I'm saying me. The other day I was on there, and when you sleep, you know, you lose track of time. And I was like, yeah, I hope they didn't say, Pastor Philip, can you pray? And then they pause, you know, they pause, and all they hear is, I say, yeah, I hope they didn't. Or you know those ones when they're praying, and they go, you know those ones. You know it because you've done it, all of you, hallelujah. Can you imagine? Early morning prayer. You go to prayer. You go, organize yourself. You go to work. Sort out the kids. You come back. Sort out the food. Different domestic. Different this. Life sent. Discipleship group. This, that. And we're going through day in, day out. Yeah. To a certain degree. you know, living life and to a certain degree having fun, to a certain degree having a tough time, it's all part of it. And you're doing that for how many decades? Six, 7 decades. And then, pardon my French, you pop your clogs. And then we go and meet him. And then the very essence, the very reason for your living, you didn't even enter into 5% of it. Oh, come on, guys. We cannot live this life like that. We need to live a life in victorious power as it's been promised in the Bible. Can I hear a good amen? We have to. So when we talk about prayer and when we new wine and say, you know, often what tends to happen, or I heard through the grapevine, not just in Greenwich, but also when I was in the other church. I'm not growing. Same thing is preached. I'm not growing. Same thing is preached. I'm not growing. Listen, you have to understand your growth is directly related to what you do. It's not just, listen, because all of this today could be a whole lot of rubbish. But you go home and take the scriptures and talk to Jesus and ask him questions. And guess what? Even now, there are stirrings. There are things you're remembering. There are desires that's popping up in your mind about your life and what it is you want to do and what you want to see, what you want to work out. Even now. And that's what you take to him. And you begin to steward it and say, Lord, help me. Lord, anoint me. Lord, move in my life. Lord, I want change. All of us here want more than we currently have. We want it. And the thing is that it's there waiting for us. The ones who will position themselves. New wine is coming. And my concern for me is, Lord, I beg you, I cannot miss it. I cannot miss it. The season I had. When I remembered, I said, yay. I went back to the Lord. I said, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. Lord. And I began to pray to it, Lord. Lord, the fire's falling. Lord, you know, Lord. It said, the fire's falling. Catch the fire. And the other bit was, and the fire shall spread. That is the essence of it. So the Spirit is speaking not just about personal encounter. He's speaking about ministry. A responsibility he's giving me. And it's a responsibility he's giving you. And I began to ask the Lord and ask the Lord, ask the Lord, ask the Lord, ask the Lord. Why is it that when I come here, I talk too much about my personal life? I'm going to find a way of muzzling myself. Sometimes we, you know, but listen, but I have, here it is. And then recently, I was praying and I said, "Shea, this one, we have to add some fasting." But I've noticed that every day I fast, I will go to 11 o'clock and break it. Who knows those ones? Even yesterday, Friday night, I was up. Listen, I wanted to spend time with the Lord, and so I tried to do my own half night. Yes. And I said, this one, I'm not going to pray in the bedroom. I'm not. Yeah. Because you know those ones, isn't it? I said, no, I'm not. Because we know what will happen. I prayed for about 20 minutes. And I said, I'm now going to, as the Bible says, meditate on your bed. And that's what I do. I go in the bed. Hey, Kabola, Leba. Gone. It doesn't even take long. So I said to myself, I said, no. I took the car. Yes. Abby, I took it and I drove somewhere. So that at least, you know, he does, and you wake up, you know, because I took the car, went, find a nice spot, quiet, and I had the music on, kabala bala baba, kabala baba baba. It was probably about, I don't know, probably 12 something. The next thing I realized, it was 2 in the morning. I said, yay. I said, okay, don't worry. Don't worry, I'm now refreshed. Hallelujah. I'm refreshed. Yes. I'm refreshed. So I then drove to another spot. Yeah, because I don't want distraction. So the quiet areas, especially like, you know, the park areas. And I parked there and I pray, and I said, right, I'm going to fast. I'm going to fast Saturday. But before I fast, let me go to the petrol station, get some Doritos and some lemonade. What am I saying? Let me not go in a bunny trail. I'm saying that there are weaknesses here. There are weaknesses. And one has to be very deliberate and desperate and determined. After I chewed the Doritos and drank it, and then, yes, we were praying. And then midday, was it midday around Tuesday? I was discouraged about something. I said, oh, this is nonsense. And I went to Lidl, got some powerful apple turnovers. Hallelujah. Because there are challenges in the system, because there are appetites. I was telling someone, we have appetites. The carnal man has appetites. Appetites for the dark stuff. It's very natural. Drawn to it. And fasting helps you kill the appetites, because it starves the natural man. And the natural man, the natural man, or the carnal man, thrives and feeds on apart from the nonsense, do you understand me, that we hear from the enemy and all kinds from the flesh, but also the food that you eat. But when you begin to deny yourself, you begin to restrict your physical frame. And it's then starved of the certain nutrients to keep it alive. In other words, it's like a dying process. So yes, we failed, but we'll go back to it. Hallelujah. Yes. I want everybody to point to me and say, Lord, give this man some grace to fast. Hallelujah. I receive it. You have no idea. We need grace. Because this week, we're going into praying and fasting. In fact, from now till the end of October, we're going to be praying and fasting. Do you know why? Because there is new wine coming. Lord is not just, you know, just speaking to individuals. Look at me, I have no clue, you know, going along. And then he says, listen, fire's falling. Catch it. And I believe this is for everybody, because God doesn't exempt anybody from experiencing the new wine or experiencing the outpouring or experiencing the fire of God. When you experience it, it will transform you. And so we're going to be fasting this week, and we're going to be calling on the Lord. Why? Because the new wine is falling. The thing about the new wine is this: the new wine has to be accommodated in nothing other but a new wineskin. If you put the new wine, which speaks of abundance, which speaks of the overflow, which speaks of increase, if you put that into an old wineskin, the old wineskin has already expanded. You see, because the wineskin is... Back in the ancient times, they used it as bottles. And they carried fermented drink like wine and other, you know, water, of course. And then also they used it to, you know, carry milk, etc. And what will happen is, especially with the fermented lubricants, what will happen is it would stretch the wineskin. So over time, the wineskin came to a point of capacity. And so when now you put new wine into it, the new wine is still fermenting. So its ability to expand, if you put it in the old wineskin, will go beyond the capacity of the new wine. And that's why the scripture says that the bottle will burst. It's very interesting because when you look up all three accounts, it uses a language of perishing, the bottle perishing, the bottle bursting. It uses language of the wine and the bottle will be ruined. And when I looked at it, in each of those gospels and those the texts, they use the same Greek word. There's an emphasis. And so therefore, we have to find a way of preparing for the new wine. And it's all embedded in the scriptures, how we do this. Because what Jesus was saying is this. He was saying, there's only one condition for the new wine to come. One condition. New wineskins. So if I would say, please, my dear brothers and sisters, hear what the Spirit is saying. Hear what He's saying to us. You can't drive this work with just strategy and administration. You can't. You can take it to a certain level, but would it be according to the heavenly pattern? This is His body, so He has to be driven the way He wants. And the way He specified is new wine. So very quickly, I'm going to go through certain things and then we'll probably go back and talk a little bit more about this new wine. But before that, when the disciples came to Jesus, remember, when John's disciples came to Jesus and they asked this question, He then answered them, how can the bridegroom be around and then there's fasting? No. This is a new season. When Jesus came, it was a new season. The ministry of John was a certain move of God. And the Father orchestrated it in such a way that John's ministry will finish. To us, it looked abruptly. But it wasn't abrupt. It was the Father's design. And then John was beheaded. It looked like he was a failure and everything, but I'm telling you, no failure. I'm telling you, He fulfilled His purpose. Imagine the reward that now he's enjoying. But even John, who saw the Lamb of God, he said, this is the Lamb of God who was slain from the foundations of the earth. And He also baptizes him. And He declared it. He said, you know, I can't even touch, I'm not worthy to strap His sandals. He discerned by the Spirit the new move of God, the Messiah. Yet when He was discouraged and He was in prison, knowing that His end was coming, He began to doubt Himself. So He then sends His disciples and say to Him, are you the one, or is there another we are waiting for? Listen, when you're waiting for the new wine to come, new wine always is preceded by what we call the wine press. In a wine press, there's crushing, there's squeezing, there's being trodden upon. Because that's the only way you'll be able to get the juices coming out of the grape. And that's what they did back in those days. Even in certain wine producing places, they still do that old mechanism where they will put the wines in these big containers and then they'll be treading on it. Treading on it, treading on it. You are that grape. And a new wine is going to come forth from you. But you're going to be bruised. You're going to go through a process. You're going to be squeezed. You're going to be trodden upon. And guess who you're going to be trodden upon? Turn to your neighbor. Say, are you the one who's going to tread on me? Yes. Your very own brothers and sisters, your very own family, I'm telling you. There's a process we go through. And John was going through that process, so he was discouraged. And if I could just intercept and say, listen, in this season, in this time, remember what I'm saying to you, because I'm telling you guys, new wine is coming. And listen, it will be mad if I missed it. And I kid you not. I don't take it lightly. So I'm saying, Lord, mercy. So we have to get ready. It's coming. It's coming. And Jesus responds to him and says, look at the fruit. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame are walking. And then he says, talks about how careful about being offended. In other words, the fruits speak of this season and a new move. The old wine was going, which was John, and the new wine was coming. And when Jesus was speaking metaphorically, it was loaded because he was speaking to John's disciples and saying, listen, he's a great man of God. Even Jesus said, there's none like John the Baptist amongst all those who were born, none like him. But yet, that old wine was being moved aside because to make room for new wine. But the old wineskin also cannot contain the new wine. And so the way the new wine looks, listen, let me just quickly read a scripture. Where is it? Maybe we get it up. John, what were we reading? Luke chapter 5. I don't know if it's verse 39, the very last verse. Let's quickly read it if they get it up. It says, and no one having drunk old wine immediately desires new, for he says the old is better. Guys, we're used to the old. And you could stay there. And that you don't even recognize the new wine when it's coming. When you begin to taste it, you think, this is different. Oh, I don't want this. It's too easy to miss it. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't miss it. And Jesus begins to share and say to them, listen, new wine is coming. Every man puts new wine into new wine skins. So how do we prepare? Basic three things I would like to share with us. The first is this. Every individual that wants the new wine, you have to surrender to Jesus and make him the Lord and Savior of your life. You cannot accommodate the new wine unless you are a believer, a Christian. I'm not talking in name. I'm talking in relationship and lifestyle. An encounter where you are born again. That's why when Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, what does he say? He says, unless you're born again of the water and the spirit, you can't experience the what? The kingdom of heaven. You can't. So if there's anybody here today, or who's listening, who wants this new wine, this new blessing, this overflow, this increase, you have to be born again. And if you want to have that more intimate encounter with Jesus, come and speak to any of us and we'll pray with you. Pray with you this afternoon. The second thing is, you have to renew your mind with the Word of God. You have to renew your mind. Because if you have old thinking in a new season, your mind will be so skewed, you miss it when it comes. Jesus wept over Jerusalem and he said, oh, how you've missed your day of visitation. Oh, many times I've said, oh God, I beg you, don't let me miss my day of visitation. Don't let me miss it. So renew your mind. Can we just read Romans chapter 12? We'll go from verse 1. Just quickly go through it. The way we renew our mind is where you read the scriptures daily. And what you do is you find time to study it. You do your own personal Bible study. And as you're reading, the Spirit speaks to you. So certain things will jump up. So what you then do is you meditate over those things and you pray into your life. And then, because remember, you're being convicted because the Spirit's speaking to you. What you then do is you seek to obey it. In other words, apply it to your life. So certain scenarios that you encounter where there's a certain behavior that's needed from you or a certain thinking that is needed from you, you take a step and you begin to work it out, live it out. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Next verse. It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And it says, for I say, through the grace given to me, what's this one? I'll leave that one out. So transformation takes place as you apply the word to your life. Essential. You begin to change because the master wants to use you. And because of that, he's looking for vessels. I believe in 2 Timothy, it talks about how there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. And these vessels, we actually carry the life of God. Right now, every believer here, you carry God's life. But to do the ministry and to fulfill the responsibilities the Lord has given you, you need power. And that's what the new wine does. It brings that power into a believer's life. So the first thing is you need to be born again. The second thing is you need to renew your mind. The third thing is you've got to sanctify yourself, which means you have to cleanse yourself. Cleanse yourself, the Bible says, from your filthy ways. You come before God and you repent and say, Lord, have mercy on me. I've done this, I've done that. I mean, goodness me. I repent daily, multiple times in a day. Daily, oh God, have mercy. And that's what you do. You're cleansing ways. You're acknowledging where you are at. And you're asking him to wash you and cleanse you with his precious blood. So that it's like you press the reset button and then you continue going on, because there are consequences of some of the sins we commit. And because God uses vessels and he wants to use you as a vessel of honor, you have to be clean. That's why in that scripture, Romans chapter 1, chapter 12, sorry, verse 1 and 2, it talks about how we have to be sanctified so that we are of service to God. Can I quickly read 2 Timothy chapter 2, 20 to 21? 2 Timothy chapter 2, 20 and 21. It if I can find it here. It says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Verse 21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. We have to purge ourselves through coming before the Lord and recognizing where we've fallen short and crying out to Him for grace to live a lifestyle that is holy and righteous. Crying out to Him to purify us. That's what we do. And when you administer these things, you are demonstrating that you are waiting for the outpouring of God's Spirit. Because new wine requires new wine skins. Now this week, as we pray and as we fast, there are these certain prayer pointers that we are going to be focusing on. We're going to be praying from 5 to 6 in the morning and then from 8 to 9 every single day from tomorrow to Sunday. I want to encourage you to come on. Let me tell you guys, it's not very exciting. I'll be honest with you. I'm not leaping with joy and just, you know, because it means now I have to factor in having a Doritos-free, Shreddies-free 7 days. And then sometimes when you're praying, it's not like it's so beautiful. It's a labor, it's an endeavor. But it's an endeavor with a great reward. Can I hear a good amen? It is. So that's what we're going to be doing. God wants to visit us, guys. He wants to visit us. I want you to stand to your feet. And I want you to ask the Lord, let's ask Him for grace. Let's ask the Lord for grace. Grace to prepare ourselves as a new wineskin. The Lord is about to do a new thing. I didn't even speak about Isaiah 43 and 19. But the Lord is about to do a new thing. And at the last half night prayer meeting, guys, I'm not just saying it because you're trying to plug it. It was powerful. It was powerful. And it was almost like the Lord is saying, this is just the edges. It was indicative of where the Lord is moving us into. It was powerful. And I want to encourage you, when it comes to some of these meetings, try not to miss it. Because with me, that's what I do. And it's not because I'm a pastor. Because if I wasn't a pastor, I would still make a beeline. I mean, for goodness sake, I'm trying to do my own half nights. Hallelujah. Yeah, I take it very serious. Very serious. Because that's when you'd be surprised God would say something to you. Listen, I went on some retreat and I had to say, right, I'm going to have to fast. And then it was tough. Went on a retreat with somebody else and they weren't fasting. I was fasting. And I refused. I said, no. And this wasn't the tea fast, cappuccino fast, mocha fast. It wasn't that. It was just water. There we go. Water. And I was fasting, and the individual said, "I'm sorry, I'm eating." I said, "Oh, don't worry, carry on." But there was grace. And then I was praying, and it was difficult praying. I was praying, and guess what? And I'm saying this to encourage you. As I was praying, I slept. And then as I was waking up, I heard, "Catch the fire, the fire is falling." I think this side just heard, hallelujah, let me just. Now you have to understand, what the Lord is saying is, "Phil, okay, you didn't steward it properly the last time. But I'm visiting you again. Here's the invitation. Here is the invitation. You don't have to necessarily have a word like that. The Lord was knocking something out of my mind. You know when we say, oh, I've missed it. The Lord was knocking it out. My brothers and sisters, please just raise your hands if you want this new fire, this new wine, that new encounter with the Lord. Just accept the invitation. Talk to the Lord. Talk to Him. We can't steward this without grace. Ask Him to give you the grace to obey Him. Grace to be desperate. You know what the Holy Spirit does? He comes and He woos us. To bring you into His inner sanctum, He will woo you. He's the lover of your soul. And even now, the Spirit is wooing us to come closer to Him. He wants to reveal Himself to us. Oh Lord, come on, somebody stretch out your hand and say, "I respond to your wooings." Sometimes the wooings is harsh in its experience because it's driving us, it's herding the sheep to come into the sheep pen to experience Him. Sometimes the wooing is a drawing, and the Lord is drawing you. You have to respond. He's drawing you. Sing it again.